Father, we thank you this morning for the joyful time in the presence of the Lord. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Thou that inhabited the presence of your people. Lord, we thank you for it. Gather together this morning, Lord. No matter what is going on in the world, Lord, oh Father, we thank you and we worship you, Lord. Thank you for being in the midst this morning. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we give you praise and glory, Lord. Father, time to read the scripture this morning. Trusting the Lord, always trusting the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, this morning, we trust you, Lord, and I want you to bless us as we read your word. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, we thank the Lord Jesus. I'd like to take every occasion where people think they are celebrating the Lord Jesus to go over the Bible passages and things like that that speak to these things, you know. It has many, many purposes. Sometimes to clear out confusion in the heart of believers, time to maybe put them in remembrance or else in remembrance of what the Lord has done. And so this morning, by the grace of God, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we walked with him as he made it what they call a triumphant entry to Jerusalem. Last week we walked with him in the Bible, praise God. And we saw that the part, everything he did that day was right according to the scriptures, praise God. Like Elijah of old, when he was to go to heaven, every place where Elijah stood, there was a message to it, amen? Praise the Lord. Even so, the Lord himself too, you know, as he was going, the last time to Jerusalem, everything he did was right according to the scripture. The path he took, Bible tells us in that book that he passed by Bethage and Bethany, right? And we saw by the word of the Lord that even Bethage was the place, according to the Hebrew religion, where they normally take the sheep or whatever the calf or the Passover from to the Temple Mount, amen? Why had they not passed through that place? Praise God. Even according to tradition, the port of entry to Jerusalem, some call it Lion's Gate and so on, that was according to prophecy, you know. You know, a donkey, not a horse, right? And just as the prophecy said that, he wrote in a donkey and a colt. So we see all that thing. So this morning I thought that when talking about the resurrection, I want to read a few scriptures about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. So the infallible proofs of his resurrection, praise the Lord. That is the message. The infallible proofs of his resurrection. So the scripture declare that the Lord Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. That is in Acts 1:3. Praise the Lord. That's right. Many infallible proofs. Following his resurrection from the dead, the Lord made a number of appearances to the disciples, of which not less than 10 are recorded in the scripture. That's right. More than 10 were recorded. These appearances began on the very day of the resurrection, as far as we know from the Bible, and throughout to a period of 40 days, appearing to the disciples and some of that, you know. So, one of the epistles include a summary statement, if you will, that provides information about these appearances and others which were not even recorded in the Gospel or the Book of Acts. And that is in 1 Corinthians 15:3. I'll read the summary of what I'm talking this morning, the Lord's appearances. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I declare unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. I always like this, according to the scriptures. People want to know this, they want to know that. The only way you know anything is what the scripture says, amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. See? And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day, that the brother was writing by divine inspiration. Verse 7 says, after that, He was saying of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he said, he was saying of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now, there are always some confusion about this day of the resurrection, even among Christians, circles. They think the gospel, there is no contradiction in the gospel, amen. They are all in harmony. Praise God.
Amen.
You must now and let the Holy Ghost lead you. Anyway, I want to begin with the women that first of all saw the Lord Jesus on that day. Resurrection day, right? So I want to talk about the events in the resurrection day. And what happened that day? Most of the day he appeared to many that day. I want to talk about them. So in Mark 16, we begin to go from here. So the women at the sepulcher. I want to begin from there. See? The many infallible proofs of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus, mother of James, pardon me, you know, and Salome have bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the fourth day of the week, like Sunday like this, fourth day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. I like that too. Praise the Lord. The rising of the sun. And he said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Down the road, in this service, we read another more. Where the other gospel put more information as to that, but let's just see what I'm trying to do by God's grace here. We put a timeline to those appearances, praise God. I can clear something from some people and so on, I believe. So, a timeline of his appearances, I don't know. It was a great surprise to these women when they got to the sepulcher and they discovered that the heavy slab had been rolled away from the entrance. And their first conclusion was that, vandals had come and taking away the stone and are stoning the Lord's body. That's what they were thinking, you know. But when we look at all the gospel together, not in isolation, all of them, Matthew begins in Matthew 28. That's why I spoke about it. Mark was in the 16th chapter, and Luke was in the 24th chapter. So they were all of them. John was in the 28th chapter, you know. And they give a rendition of the that day that the Lord rose from the dead. So putting together the accounts of all the four gospels, and we can see, or it will seem, that Mary Magdalene separated herself from the rest of the women at the tomb to go and inform Peter and John of the mysterious finding. From where I just read to you in Mark 16 just now. We can show from scripture that was so really, you know. So, it's like brother John and Peter were in the same place, the other nine were in a different place. From all we can see from the gospel and some of that, you know. So what I'm saying, you can see that in John chapter 20, verse 2. So if you put in your mind what I read in Mark 16, he said the women and some of that, you know. But look at John chapter 20, verse 2. We are told that Mary Magdalene then runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. We all know by now that his brother John, right? You know. And says unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. From what you can put together, all the gospel together, not in isolation, but all of them together, it will appear that the other women apparently remained at the sepulchre, while Mary went and told John and Peter. That's what you can see from all the gospel put together, not in isolation now. So, as these other women stood around the sepulchre, they suddenly became aware that a young man, they call him, was sitting within the tomb, you know, at the right side and so on, who informed them that Christ has risen. That will be Mark 16:5. I read from there. So, I'm putting a timeline to it, you know, and we know that who saw him first, and just kind of establish, you know, that we understand it. So, Mark 16:5. And entering into the sepulchre, the other women now, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way now. Tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you to Galilee. There shall ye see him, and as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Later on, I will come to another gospel chapter that talks about the same event. So I won't say that. I will now talk about the fourth appearance, and that was to Mary Magdalene. Remember, as you can see from the four gospels together, not isolation, she led the other women and go tell Brother Peter and John why the other women were still at the sepulchre, from what you can see in all the four gospels. Otherwise, Mary Magdalene saw him fall. So when Peter and John now returned, so he went to them and told them, so of course Brother Peter and John, they begin to run to the sepulchre and so on. I think Brother Peter, possibly, or Brother, one of them outran the other, right? Anyway, and when they got there, truly enough, the body wasn't in the tomb. So they return home. They return back anyway. So when they return, when Peter and John return and reported that they too have found that the sepulchre was empty. So, other women also, they have all gone, they left the sepulchre at that time, Maybe left them there, left them there, so they have left too. But Mary Magdalene now felt urged by strong curiosity to revisit the sepulchre or the tomb and see if she could find a clue to this deepening mystery of the missing of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. While standing without the sepulchre and weeping, I'm summarizing it now. Then she stooped to look into the tomb and saw two angels who informed her that the Lord had risen. That is in John 20, 11 to 13. I'm going to skip the reading of that scripture. So the Lord himself in that chapter now appeared to her. In fact, the Lord disputed himself. She thought the Lord was a gardener, actually, and kind of interrogated him. But indeed, it was the Lord. So the Lord revealed himself to her. And right there, in that place. And so the Lord himself then appeared to her. And the scripture specifically says that she was the first one to see the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. That can be seen in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the fourth day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Praise God. She was the first one to see the Lord, out of whom he cast out 12 devils. You can see that only when you put all the four gospels together, because it talks about the women and so on, but we can see that's a separation where Mary went to go and see Brother John and Peter and so forth, why the rest of the men were by the sepulchre, So you can see now then, when it gets to the first Brother Peter and John, those who are called probably outran her, anyway, and they found out and they returned. And I believe, Mary Magdalene came back here, to the sepulchre, wept and so on. The angel told her things, and then the Lord appeared to her. So, and the Bible specifically says that the Lord appeared to her first. Talking about the timeline, the day of resurrection, like this, the event of that day, it's a delight to just know all those things. Now, after that one, who saw the Lord next, according to the scripture? They were the other women that were with Mary Magdalene. They were the next one to see the Lord. So in Matthew chapter 28, I begin to read from verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. So this chapter is adding more information to what I've read in the book of Mark. If you remember where we left off now, we know that from what we can see, it didn't say implicitly or explicitly, but we can see implicitly that Mary Magdalene was separated and so on. Otherwise, if they were all together all the while, why was Ada see the Lord first? Anyway, why, what happened to the other women? If they were together, praise the Lord. Anyway, Matthew 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like a lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as a dead man. And the angel answered and said unto the women, see, they are not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy too, and did run to bring his disciples word. Now, what the next verse now? Mary has seen her first, you know, and so on. That. What happened to this woman? And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, oh, hey. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. You see, another thing I can say, they were separated in it. When Mary and Adeline saw him, you couldn't don't touch me, the Lord said, right? Praise the Lord. That's what he said in that chapter. Don't touch me. I haven't had to go up to the Father first, right? Mm-hmm. But he didn't say it here, right? There was a separation. Mary was alone. Mary went again to go and tell the brother John and Peter. Apparently, the other nine disciples were in a different place. This other women was to go and tell the other nine disciples. And while they were going, then the Lord appeared to them also. Praise God. So it was Mary Magdalene first. And then these other women, the Lord appeared to them. So, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren, you see, that they go to Galilee. And they shall see me. Why I'm saying this here, most of the time, sometimes this thing takes like a Bible study. That's fine too. We run into all kind of errors today in doctrine. Eh? You must know where you stand. People will say, oh, in the gospel, there's a contradiction. There is no contradiction. Amen. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, next appearance, according to in timeline, that day of resurrection, next appearance of the Lord was to Peter. So, upon the arrival of Cephas, you know, and his companion, so there are two disciples going to Emmaus the same day. They have heard what the women said, so they were on their way to Emmaus. His name is Cleopas and one other unnamed brother. They were not apostles as far as we know. They are just of the brethren. Praise God. Amen. So, that's what the Bible says about them. So, so the Lord has appeared to them, but before that, so you know this, I'll come to the next one, right? Anyway, so when they came back, when they encountered the Lord, and you know, which I will talk about next, they came back actually to Jerusalem that night, and so that you know, and they come to the apostles. And here is what they were told in Luke 24, verse 33. So, and they rose up the same hour, meaning from Emmaus, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Hear what they say, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared unto Simon. Praise God. While they were gone, before they encountered the Lord has appeared to Simon already. Praise God. You see? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, to these two people now, let's talk about them quickly. That the third people that the Lord appeared to according to the timeline of the events of the resurrection day. So in Luke 24, verse 13, we read, and behold, two of them went that same day of resurrection, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and listened, Jesus himself drew near. And when we there, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I don't want to read the rest of the chapter. I will kind of paraphrase. I love that chapter a lot for many, many reasons and so on. Even their conversation with the Lord. As they were talking, the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said, what kind of conversation are you guys having among yourselves? Then they say, oh, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? And don't know all these things that are happening? So I say, what is happening? And they say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom the people will see earlier and think that he's a prophet and so on, and of him we think that then we come to Israel and so on, how they crucified him and all this and so on, and that, you know. And some of all they said, the women went to the sepulchre this morning and they didn't find his body and so on. And the Lord rebuked them and so on. Oh fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet has said. I learned a lesson from that thing. Believing is good, but don't be slow in believing, amen? Yeah. Want to hear the word of God, just take it and run with it, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Clear of heart to believe all that the prophet has said. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have risen from the dead and then go into glory? So the Bible says he took them and he expounded to them in all the scripture from Moses and all the prophets, amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Of the things concerning himself, amen? So what I told the Jews, you say you believe Moses. If you have believed Moses, you will believe me too, amen? For he wrote about me, amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
From Moses and all the prophets, you know, I like what Peter said in the book of Acts, the Acts of Cornelius. To him bear witness, all the prophets, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He is the God of the prophets, amen?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, so, you know, so, and then Bible says, yes, pass to them in all those scriptures and so. I love the brethren too. They love the Lord too.
Amen.
They didn't get mad because they called them fools, right? For their own good, amen? But they hear the fashion of the scriptures. They were speechless, amen?
Amen.
And of course, he was passing by. Oh, you know, and you know the Lord, he had a sense of humor too. He did as if he passed by them, right? The village. Oh, no. They haven't known who he was at that time. That's the mystery of God, amen? They can appear to you, even like angels. Men have entertained angels on our way, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Talking about the infinite. I know the mystery of God, of his kingdom, praise God.
Amen.
So much more the master himself, you know, like Mary, thought he was a gardener, right?
Mm.
Until you open your eyes, amen, he can disguise himself in any form of shape, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, the night is fast spent, abide with us, and so for that, you know.
Mm.
And of course, he went in with them, okay, you know, you want them, and as they were in there, and then he broke bread, amen. The last act he had with the disciples, how he broke bread. As he broke bread, their eyes were open. It was the Lord, amen. Praise
amen.
And he disappeared, praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Those who are saying the night was fast spent and so on. That same day, the revelation is powerful, right? They don't care if there were highway robbers, they don't care if there be anything on the road.
Yeah.
That same night, Revelation 1, amen. They were intoxicated by the revelation of the scriptures.
Amen.
We don't care what is on the way. We are going back to Jerusalem tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Fear God out of your life when you really take him by his word.
Amen.
Anyway, so they are now joined together. We have said before. So when they were, so of course, so they now go and meet the disciples behind closed doors. Meanwhile, he has appeared to Peter already, you know. Now they all match their testimony. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now the next appearance in timeline. Many things happened that day. The next appearance was to the disciples, minus Thomas. That in so as Cleopas and his companion were giving their own testimony of the appearing to them on the way to Emmaus, to the disciples, the Lord appeared in the midst of them. So when they came back, that is in Luke 24, verse 35. And they told what things were done. These two people, they took what they were done in the way. And how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. So they were telling the other disciples at that time and the black closed door. And as the door speak, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. See? And they said unto them, peace be unto you. Praise the Lord. Well, how do we know Thomas wasn't there? You have to put all the gospels together. Because in John 20:24, we are told, in the same meeting, as far as we know, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Amen?
Amen.
You have to put all the gospels together. People get into error when they take scripture in isolation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It must just blend from Genesis to Revelation for it to be right. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he wasn't there at that time. So, and so anyway, so, no, so but show himself. So the Gospel of St. John gave the additional information that Thomas wasn't there, like I just show you right now. So, and so anyway, 37 verse. We are now to these other disciples when Cleopas came. And his companion to meet the disciple and so on, and the Lord appeared to them. But they were terrified when the Lord appeared and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, you know, and my feet, That is my, is I myself, the Lord said. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as he see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And when they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye there any meat? And he gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did it before them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, I won't go to that house now. The glorified body, yes. It is super, it's super. It has all the ability of the natural body and infinitely greater capabilities. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's the kind of body we have when it comes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Bible says what's wrong. Anyway, so, and you know, even talking about that as part of his weakness, you know, I think Brother Peter was in the house of Cornelius again in Acts 10:39. Here is what Brother Peter said when he was witness to Cornelius and his household. The Bible said the Lord yet before them, right? So Brother Peter said in Acts 10:39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hang on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now, what follows now? How the Lord can disguise himself right now. And not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. You know? Even to us, he said, who did eat and drink with him after he rose again from the dead,
amen?
Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah, he said, I'm a witness. We did, we ate with him, we drank with him when he rose from the dead, amen? Praise God. And that's a wonderful thing there. Not all the people saw him, those who appeared day before the world began. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So the rapture takes place, the world will know nothing, amen? Praise
amen.
God. Hallelujah. Only those unto whom it appertains will know nothing. Like Elijah of old. They look for some people, they won't find them, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Like Enoch, Genesis 5:24 said that, and he was not found, amen?
Mm-hmm.
For God took him, amen? We are in that hour now for the church. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let's say that for the next appearance was for the disciples now, including Thomas himself, amen? Praise God. The Lord is just so wonderful. So the next time he appeared, he now makes sure that Thomas was there. That's in John 20:26. And I want to read that. And after eight days now, the next Sunday, amen, the next Sunday, that's right. So, Resurrection Day was the fourth day of the week, which is Sunday, right? And then the next, a week later, the Lord appeared again. He made sure that Thomas was there. So, in John 20:26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him. The Bible now says specifically, and Thomas with them. See? Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. And said, peace be unto you. Then say he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hand. And reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, and my God. Amen. Praise
amen.
God. That's not a old revelation opened unto him right now. That he is both Lord and God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus, you know. My Lord and my God, you see. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, believest, or because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed in him. Praise the Lord. So when the Lord appeared, you know, before then, Thomas knew it. He wasn't, he didn't even care to do what the Lord said. Put my hand there. He just believed God in him. Praise God. He didn't even care to carry out the blessing of the Lord, put my hand. No, he just believed the Lord and so my Lord and my God. So we see that here. So when the Lord should again appear, I mean, why did he appear next Sunday? So people have asked that question. And I would have to say it all the time, you know. They come back, he wrote on the fourth day of the week, a Sunday. Then the next Sunday he appear again. We can say this. I think that the Lord was establishing that Sunday was to be the gathering of the saints throughout the ages, when it comes again, amen. Praise God.
Amen.
That can be the foundation for why we are having churches on Sundays. Praise the Lord Jesus. So I'll just leave that one idea. Now, the next appearance was now to seven of the disciples again, you know, at the Sea of Tiberias. We are going through the timeline of the day of resurrection, of the Lord's appearance in time sequence and some of that. You know, look at the scripture. John 21 quickly, I can read much of this. And the other day we spoke about this, even before Easter time. You know, there was a reason why he appeared to these seven and so on. Let me quickly read part of it. I mean, in John 21 verse 1, after this thing, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, showed he himself. And they speak for themselves. I will just read it to up to verse 12. And they are very, very self-explanatory. And they were together, Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples, making seven of them all. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. The Bible said, you know. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not it was the Lord. See? He can disguise himself. Praise God. Anyway, then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that people like John there, said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he believed like John. Praise God. Praise God, you know. He always asked like John, what is this? Even at the table, what, you know? Praise God. Anyway, and that it was the Lord. He got his fisherman's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Just one. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, the Bible says, but as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish lay thereon, and bread. See, the great provider, the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who cared for his people, amen. He saw the toys of his disciples all night long, how sad they would have been, how discouraged they could have been, amen. This is their livelihood, right? Praise God. Now they've caught nothing. See, he made preparation for them. Praise God. And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. And there's a mystery here. And the Lord numbered, the Bible numbered the number of fishes, 153. And for all, there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples thus asked him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord, amen. He just knew. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now, in passing, I want to dwell on that verse 11 for just 1 minute or two, where the Bible says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net full of fishes, 153. Now, all over the ages, you know, what is the magic number 153? What's about that number? Why was the Bible specific about the number of fishes? So 153 is a number that has tasked the ingenuity of some of the greatest of Bible students. And from the earliest time, they have wondered about that number. All Bible scholars have wondered what that number is. All have felt that there must be something deeply significant and mysterious in this number 153, for the solemn way it was introduced. Why not 150? Why not 200? Scholars of all time, have been baffled as well. Anyway, the Lord told the disciples, for example, that they should become fishers of men. We know that. So, one thing we learned that night is that to be fishers of men you know, you have to have divine guidance, amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Like that night that the fish and caught nothing. So anyway, now let's spend 1 minute by that number, you know, and make a conclusion. We know that 153 is a factor of 9 and 17. 9 and 17 is 153. And we know 17 is a perfect number. And 17 is associated with election. Well, that means that's a whole subject by itself, you know. We can say one or two things about 17 being a perfect number, and it's a number of of divine protection from danger and from terrible time. We know that Joseph was 17 when he left for Egypt, amen, when he was sold to Egypt, amen. He was 17. Joseph was 17 when he was sold to Egypt by his brethren. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you know what it is? He said, eventually, the summary of his life is this. I left home at 17 and you sold me for slavery. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, right?
Amen.
To provide, to save that, not only your family, but that generation. Praise God.
Amen.
So 17, number of protection from divine judgment. I know that, you know. Even Jacob himself, his father, after he left, when he went to Egypt, he spent 17 years only and he died. Number of protection, praise God. So I will stop right there. Back to my number 153, right? So we see. Now, also we found out, people have found out that attention has been drawn to the fact that a total of 153 persons receive spiritual blessings from the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about 153, why the Bible number 8, you know? So people have found out who did the research that a total of 153 people receive personal blessings from, you know, from the Lord Jesus Christ personally and some of that, you know. So not only that, you know, and also attention has been drawn to a discovery that ghost does. Historically, there are 34 cycles of 153 years, 34 of them, of 153 years, marking a number of elect persons chosen to fulfill certain ministries in God's program for the human race. Talking about number 153, you know, so I repeat that, there are 34 cycles of 153 years each, marking a number of elect persons chosen to fulfill certain ministries in God's program for the human race. I can't go through all of them, but I know some of them. Enoch, Noah, Shem, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, and even the Lord himself, to name a few, you know, were elected to fulfill certain roles in the divine plan. I want to finish that 153 number with this thought here. Now, for example, from the fall of man, which is 3993 BC, that's the fall of man, 399 BC, to Enoch's birth. Enoch's birth was 2389 BC. So from the fall of Adam to Enoch's birth, 2389 BC, is 4 times 153 years. See? Now, let me give two more. There are a list of them. I don't want to spend more time here. Now, from Enoch's birth, which is 2389 BC, to Noah's call to build the ark, which was in year 2485 BC, was 6 times 153 years. We are seeing there are 34 cycles of 153 years that people were chosen to do something for God. I just did about two or four of them. Now the next one, from Isaac's birth, which is 922 BC, to Joseph's birth, which is 1772 BC, that's exactly 153 years. So I will stop right there. From what I just said now, you know, Joseph talked about 17 years when he left home. Jacob, his father, was only 17 years, only that he had to leave when he got to Egypt. And what I just told you right now. So we can now say that there is a good reason to conclude that the number 153 is the number of the elect. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we just draw inspiration from the Bible and so on. That doesn't mean only 153 will be saved. We know that. We are more than that now. But it's the number of the elect, really. You said with the elect. Now, let's quickly finish off now with the timeline of the Lord's appearances in the day of resurrection. The next one he did was he appeared to the disciples and a large gathering over the next few weeks after he rose from the dead. That is in Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. But look at 1 Corinthians 15:6, because people think they are linked together. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, which I read before, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom, so he appeared to the 500 and more of them. That is the next one. So that, you know, after many weeks, past the resurrection day. Now, the last one I want to talk about now, the last one is this. He appeared to the disciples 40 days exactly after his resurrection. You know, 40 days after he appeared unto them. So 40 days had passed now since the Lord rose from the dead. As you have seen, he had appeared at least 9 times. I've been talking all morning long to one or more of his disciples. But the time had come now when he had to be parted from them until he should return again in glory. So, from the last time he appeared to them at Jerusalem and led them, and for the last time now, he appeared for the last time now before the ascension. So I read from Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to close from here, Acts 1, because this is the last one. And the reason talking about the last one is this, because in this last one, he also talks about, it's coming back again, you know. So in Acts 1:1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he has chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, that's where I'm going at now, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When many people have said that, in those 40 days, the Lord was teaching some things, some mystical things, that is only known by the disciples and so on, that you know. But this verse disproves that the Lord continued to teach the same thing. Amen. Now the Bible says here. The Bible says that the day he was taken up, he was teaching the same thing. Praise the Lord. Because I'm going to run to things. I take time here to talk and explain things the best I can. You know, we are living an age of deception. People want to make a name for themselves. You must be verse in the scriptures, amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Not to be swept away into falsehood.
Yes.
If it were possible, it will deceive the very elect, amen?
Yes.
So that's why we take time here to explain certain things, you know? Praise the Lord. It's out there, people. So, people are saying that, it's not certain mystical things. No. The Bible said he was thinking the same thing, the kingdom of heaven. Anyway, let me read this. Jump to the ascension here right now, you know. So I go to Acts chapter 1 verse 9 now. So this is a very, very important one, you know. So because he appeared to them number one, and then he was going away finally, you know. So in Acts chapter 1 verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, why did he head? He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Well, it is significant to note the words that were put here, why they beheld, he was taken up. Bible says, why they were looking, he was taken up. Now, the Lord did not just disappear. Why they were looking somewhere else, amen? Praise the Lord. They were looking steadfastly. He didn't just disappear. They saw him go to heaven and something like that, you know, and he was taken up like that, you know. So his attention calls to mind even Elijah going away. Amen. It's a type. Elijah was a type of his taking away. Without going too much in 2 Kings 2:10, this verse was said. Elijah told Elisha, "If thou see me when I am taken from thee," amen. That's what he says. And of course, verse 12 in 2 Kings 2, verse 12, Elijah saw it, amen. He saw it. So the disciples, they were looking steadfastly. If it just disappear, so they were looking and they saw it go to heaven like that. Like Elijah, he told Elisha, "If thou see me," and of course, verse 12 says, and Elisha saw him. So the attention of Christ took place while eager eyes followed him in rapt attention, even until an enveloping cloud received him out of their sight. I can imagine the disciples, you know, as he was going and the cloud enveloped him, they were thinking like on the Transfiguration Mountain, right? The cloud came, right, for a while, and the cloud cleared off, right? And then, Elijah and Moses was with him, and then the cloud cleared off, and then only the Lord was left, right? Oh, they were thinking this time again, this cloud will disappear again, we have another glimpse of him. Not this time around, amen, praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. He is gone for good, and so on, but he's coming back again. So, instead of the cloud clearing off, and then seeing again, the Lord dispatched two angels to comfort them that he's coming back again, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what we see right there, you know. So they told him that he men of Galilee. So, and we have to be careful again. There are theories out there, all kind of things out there saying this. And so anyway, so we see that one. So we see that one. So the Lord went to heaven and so on. The angel said that as you see him go to heaven, he will come in the same way. He's coming again, the cloud of glory. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not only that, they were right at the Mount of Olives, right?
Yes.
Not only will they come in the cloud of glory, you know, but also, even the same spot, you know, in their land, where the world will see me. In Zechariah, quickly, I want to finish here. In Zechariah, I believe 14:4, part of the same way where he went up, Bible said that, I know, 14:4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, which is where they were at the ascension. Praise the Lord Jesus. Exactly right, you know. So it will be the same Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it will return in the same manner, only this time around, every eye shall see him, amen.
Yes.
That's in Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. He went in the clouds, right?
Mm-hmm.
He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall weigh because of him. Even so, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have to probably quickly rush and cut off with this answer anyway. Now, many theories, thought, very important, that Christ's second coming occurred at the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. It's out there, people. I'm telling you right now. People are teaching that the second coming occurred at AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. Some say that it comes at conversion. It's out there. Some say that it came at the time of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's out there, you know. And we know all these theories. None of them match what the angels said. This Jesus, he will come in the same manner as he sees go to heaven, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, let me clarify. So, it is true that Christ does come in the spirit to dwell in every believer. We know that. Even as we see the sun's rays, the sun is up there, right? And his rays is falling down, right? So, yeah, it's in the believer, as some of that you know. But it's not the second coming of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the second coming of Christ, amen? Praise the Lord. So you must be able to, because you know, people are looking for help, this especially, you must be able to take the scripture and explain it to them again, and they can have a great foundation in the Lord. Praise God. So now, as we close here, so we see. So today, the Lord's presence is in the earth, we know that. But the Lord will remain at the right hand of the Father until the time of restitution of all things, amen. Why the Acts 3:21 says so? Yeah, it's in all with the Holy Ghost and some of that, you know, but in coming again, Acts 3:21 says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, so the heaven and so on is coming back again. The Bible tells us and so on. And that's why we are here today expecting the coming of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let me just put some scripture here to close all this money. We that believe in him. In Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he died no more. Amen.
Amen.
And the death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died into sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. And I now admonish you and I, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
How many times have you heard Christians? You know we are sinners. Christians talking like that. You know we are all sinners. How can that be? Amen. When Christ died and rose again from the dead, amen. How can you say this? Praise God. Anyway, so we, because we don't, you run to all these kind of things, all the kind of things, all the time and some of that, you know. Now, Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses, amen?
Amen.
And he was raised for our justification, amen. You were justified when he raised from the dead. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our benefit, what he did for us and so on. That will take a whole day to be talking about that and so on. Now, Revelation 1:18 says this. The Lord says, me that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And I have the keys of hell and of death. So why should Christians fear death? Jesus had all the keys. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See that? So we see that there, you know. So I like the other way people put it. Say, and me that liveth and was dead was in the past, but he liveth as no forever and ever. Amen. He dies no more. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now in John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, and this question goes to all people today. Believeth thou this? Amen. Praise the Lord. Believeth thou this? Praise the Lord. Anyway, I just leave it right here. You know, you cannot lie. We have just set forth in this meeting this morning by the grace of God the most important truth in the history of this world. See? What was that? Some of the infallible proofs of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 10:40, I read again. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Like I said before, showed him openly. So we are set those things for this morning. Resurrection and so on. So to us believers now that verse, not all the people saw him and so on. Now to us believers who were not there when he rose from the dead, now the Bible consoled us really, you know. So in John 20:29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, which I read before, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That we are sitting here today. We haven't seen him, but he dwells in us. Amen. And we are blessed. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians. People will be wondering. Yeah, Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your heart by seeing him, right? No. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's by faith. Until we see him. We'll see him again. But for now, by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all things what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. Wonderful scripture. Filled with all the fullness of God. I got about two or three scriptures to read before I close that right now. Now, he said to us in 1 Peter 1:8, talking about sin or not sin and so on. Whom having not seen, amen, ye believe, ye love, amen. Praise the Lord. See? In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. He is alive. Praise God. Every Christian knows that. Amen. You know, how do you know? Because he lives in me too. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We are his witnesses. Verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Wherefore, in verse 13 says, this morning, guard up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord to all Christians. That is written and so on. About two more. In Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. It's coming. We will see him. Amen. Praise God. In 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessed hope. Blessed is the name of the Lord. What a blessed hope. Let me get into that. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So this morning, brethren, and just go through the timeline as far as you can see from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened the day of resurrection and so on, you know. And knowing this now, that we are his witnesses, and we are buried with him with baptism, amen.
Amen.
We were raised all together with him, amen.
Amen.
In the mind of God, we have been raised all together with Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
We have been made to sit all together in heavenly places in Christ, already in the mind of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
To him be the glory and majesty, honor and dominion forever and ever. Now, this scripture here in Philippians 3:10. So this morning, people remembering the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that we may continue to know him more and more and the power of his resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
That is in Philippians 3:10, the mass scripture right here. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So the power of his Father, we thank you this morning. We glorify your name, Lord. Thank you. Great things that happen when you redeem us, Lord. Identify with us. Lord, no diet in our faith. Lord, oh Lord God, and redeem us unto yourself. Bible says you are delivered for our offenses. So there is now no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. Ah, the Lord Jesus is the judge and the jury that acquitted us for all eternity, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So now we are dead unto sins. Account ourselves as dead unto sins and alive unto righteousness.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I say he will present us unto himself without any fault, without any blame.
Amen.
Unblameable, unrebukable.
Yes, Lord.
Thus said the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Shall he present us unto himself in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Not only that, as we wait for him, unto him that is able to keep us from falling,
amen,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of being falling and so on. I will say, I have planted them in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my hand.
Yes.
While I was here, as I go to the Father, when I go to the Father's office, we are also planted in the Father's palm, and nobody can pluck us out.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we worship you, Lord. Thank you for the testimony going on, witnessing going on now, oh Lord God, all over the world. We have heard of it among us this morning, Lord. What great thing God is doing. We know the end of the age. As this great revival, we end a great multitude of people turning to Christ. Many prophecies say that, Lord, Lord, help us to take our part, our portion in the harvest work. To be a man that goes forth and weepeth. Are bringing forth precious fruit at the end of the age.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, grant his Father. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So now, as we said that scripture in Philippians 3, Lord, oh God, knowing you as we draw closer unto you and the power of your resurrection.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord. And this war, people celebrating this and that, now this time of soberness, now that you have permitted upon the heart, Lord, oh Father, Lord, we know that many continue to flow to the kingdom of God. in the name of the Lord Jesus. As we go this morning, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for the protection that we have in the Lord Jesus. Lord, you promise us right from the Old Testament, right to the new one, oh God, the same book and so on. You promise you will take away all sickness from the midst of us. We will not permit any of these diseases of Egypt of the war upon us. You promise to bless our water and our bread. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I will take away all sickness from the midst of us.
Amen.
Thank you for your holy promise, Lord.
You,
who himself bear our sins in his own body upon the tree, that we, being dead unto sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
Amen.
It was past tense, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And in Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmity and bore our sins in his own body. So we thank you, Lord God. 1,000 before at our right, I mean at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand.
Amen.
It shall not come nigh us.
Amen.
The mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Amen.
And he brought them forth with joy.
Amen.
And he chose them with gladness.
Amen.
There was not one feeble person among their tribes.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
If that was true of the church in the wilderness, how about the church, the glorified church, the triumphant church? The word of the Lord stand up forever. Give your children everywhere. Say, be not afraid. These things must need to be. All the pestilences, the wars, and so forth, these things must need be. But be not afraid. Bible says, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. See to it that you are not afraid. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, having not given us the spirit of bondage to fear again, but the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are in the world. We are to look up, not look at the things in the world, to look up for our redemption dress now, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we go for here this afternoon with the joy of the Lord, taking us through all those wonderful things that happen in the church. And now you are living in us, Lord Christ, in us the hope of glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Knowing thee that greater are thou who is in us than he that is in the world, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we go here, out here, as more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. The angel of the Lord encamp around them that fear the Lord and deliver them, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Above all things, now, Lord, we pray that your kingdom come, that we, O Father, be done on earth as it is in heaven, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the word of promise that you will shorten the time for the elect's sake. For it says, except those days be shortened, that should no flesh be saved. But say, for the elect's sake, I will shorten it. We are counting on it, Lord. And it shall be as the Lord said. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Long service, so we thank the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.